Well, good morning, everybody. This is Glenn Coble, and this is On the Air, and we are on the air. And I hope you didn't stay up as late as I did. I stayed up late listening to the debate and then listening to the talking heads after that. I shouldn't do that. It doesn't help my sleep. My puppy dog doesn't get her sleep because I'm sitting on the couch where she likes to sleep and I'm making noises. Oh, well, we had a good night, though. She kind of got up several times and had to run around in circles. She's a little she has dementia, and she runs around in a lot of circles. But she has fun, so that's all we care about, right? All right, well, you're listening to On the Air. I am Glenn Coble here on WWGH FM 107.1. And we're going to have fun this morning. I've got a story that I'm going... You know, I try to read some things. It's been mainly speeches to educate my listeners about the way people view the world through these speeches. Now, today, it's not really a speech. It's actually a free-form poem written by James Whitcomb Riley, the Hoosier poet. And it's done in jargon. So you might think I'm going crazy while I'm reading it because he uses all the Hoosier jargon and the way a lot of Hoosiers back in the good old days used to talk. But it's a great little story, and it's about a little boy that goes out bear hunting, right? So I'm going to read that for you here momentarily, I guess. I wasn't quite sure whether I should read it in the first period or whether I should. It's only going to take, I'll read it to you after the break at 10:30. Just because it might take all of 15 minutes to read. I doubt it, though. But anyway, it's interesting, and it kind of gives you a taste of the way the 1800s were in Indiana. You know, something's driving me crazy. I left my cup here yesterday, so I didn't have a cup to bring coffee with me, and I'm dying for my cup of coffee. I'm going to have two of them when I get home this afternoon. Anyway, do you ever feel that way? I'm not usually driven by coffee. I only drink a couple of cups a day, but when I was in the Army, I used to drink about 8 a day, and there were days where I had to lay down at lunchtime, just lay down to get my energy back. But anyway, I'm going to read this to you, I'm going to read the opening line is, "Why once they was a little boy went out to shoot a bear." That's the opening line. So that's the type of language that James Whitcomb Riley used for this. Now, he does a lot of poems that are written in back woodsy type of jargon language. And underneath the title of the story, the title of the poem is "The Bear Story," and underneath that it says that Alex is to make up his own self. Alex is made up his own self, and there's no L in self; it's just his own self. I love that type of language. And I'm going to read it to you just for your education, okay? So, and I'm almost sure that you'll enjoy it. So about 10:30 after the next break, we'll read this to you. And it'll take about 15 minutes, and we'll get through it. Then we're going to do, I'm going to go back over, my puppy and I were struggling to, we knew that at about 12:30, after watching all the talking heads, that I was going to get a short night of sleep, so we didn't talk over what I was going to do on today's show. So I pulled up my phone. I don't know if you're like me, but anytime I get a thought, It used to be when I was a kid, I'd say, well, I'm going to carry around a little notebook, and every time I get a thought that I think is smart, I'll write it down. I can't tell you how many notebooks have been washed in the back pocket of my blue jeans. I just never got it done. But now that I have a phone that I can do that on, I've got an awful lot of notes in there that, some of them are crazy. I mean, you'll hear them. And some of them are not so crazy. Some of them I think are pretty smart. Some of them I think are pretty stupid. And I'm going to read some of them to you today. And you're more than welcome to call in and tell me how stupid you think they are or how brilliant you think I am, right? If you do want to call in, by the way, the number is 740-383-9944. Let me give that to you again, just in case you didn't have your pencil ready. Ready? All right. 740-383-9944. If you forget the last four digits, it's just WWGH on your phone, you know, on the touchpad. I don't know if my phone has that on my touchpad. Matter of fact, I'm going to look right now. I don't think it does. Wait a minute. Let me look here. By the way, since I'm going through my phone, it just told me we have 25 days, 13 hours, and 35 minutes until Election Day. Also, I thought you might like to know that there are 103 days till Inauguration Day. And most important of everything, the Popcorn Festival will start in 335 days. I do like the Popcorn Festival. I think I've explained that to you before. All right, let me. What was I going to do? I forgot. I was looking something up in my phone. Oh, well, I'll figure it out later. But I'm going to read that to you. We will talk about one of the things that my puppy dog and I have discussed at length is what does police, what were they saying? They were going to defund the police. And my puppy dog and I don't understand what that means. It doesn't sound right. What do you want, anarchy? But apparently I misread what they're saying. Defunding. Apparently, defunding means they'll cut back funds that they use for the police to be nannies, you know, that type of thing. There's no reason why policemen should be, you know, nannies, and policemen should be social workers and that sort of thing. They have people that do that sort of thing. I think that's kind of what they mean. But anyway, I have some thoughts about that. I have thoughts about all sorts of things. So I'm going to give those to you here in about, after I read the bear story. Do you ever get my tongue out of my eye teeth? Do you ever read poetry? Is poetry something you enjoy? Now, this bear story, you won't see any rhyming in the bear story. It's a free verse type poem. The language gives it its melody, and you'll hear that, but it doesn't rhyme from, you know, every third sentence or anything like that. So, but I'm pretty sure they still call it poetry. And he's done a lot of free verse poetry. Now, he used to live not too far not while I was alive, but his house used to be not too far from where my family lived when we lived in Indiana. And one of his houses, I don't know if he lived there the whole time. There was also a gentleman called Lou Wallace who lived right around the corner from us. There was a Lou Wallace study. He was a learned man. Lived near a lot of learned people. I wished it would all have rubbed off. It hasn't totally rubbed off. I wouldn't say I'm at the bottom end of the scale, but there are a lot of people that think I am. Well, I got through college. It only took me 9 years. Well, there were 3 years in the service in the middle of that, but Anyway, still took me 6 years. So. What else was I going to say before I go to the next break? Oh, I know. We've got a lot of things that Fred Malone left with me. He left the historical trivia of Marion County, and we got through, I don't know, two pages of it last week. And I'm going to do a little bit more of that. It's really interesting stuff. It's, you know, stuff like who was the first white person to live in the county, who was, or when was the county made part of the state, you know, things like that. It all has to do with Marion County, and it's all historical trivia. And if anybody knows it, Fred knows it. Now, Fred's going to be on with me next week at this time, and I encourage you to listen to. He's a wealth of knowledge. My three regulars are brilliant in their own abilities. Fred Malone is within the Ohio Historical or the Marion Historical Society, but he just has one of those minds that knows a lot of, can recall a lot of things. I don't have that type of mind. James Anderson, who will be on the week after next, is our natural Marion County naturalist, and he can go on and on and on. He could tell you what color antlers or what color antenna are on a centipede. You know, he's that type of guy. He knows all that stuff. I love listening to him. He gave me two pawpaws, and both of them turned out very tasty. We had them last week after they softened up and got really ripe and ready to go. And anyway, in about 5 seconds, we'll be ready to go. We'll get take our little break, and then we'll come back and we'll do the bear story by James Whitcomb.
Scott, do you remember when Hillary Clinton came to Marion in 2016?
Yes, I do. I stood outside of the Harding Hotel in the rain waiting to get an interview that didn't happen.
You know why she chose the Harding Hotel to meet?
No, I don't.
Well, they used to have a hair salon in the lobby, and she could sure use it.
Here we go again. WWGH Radio, 107.1 FM. Don't miss it.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn. But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and provides it to families and children in need.
You can help kids in need in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Oh, we're back on WWGH. You're listening to Glenn Coble on the program called On the Air. That's what we call this program. And we are on the air. And as I suggested earlier, we're going to read a free-form poem by James Whitcomb Riley, the Hoosier poet. And the name of the story is The Bear Story. Now, I'm going to forewarn you, it might sound like I'm jumbling up some of the words, but that's just the way he wrote the story. And we will try to read it as close as possible. I may butcher it a little bit. I'll try not to. I think you'll enjoy it. The Bear Story. That Alex ist make up on his own self. Why, once there was a little boy went out in the woods to shoot a bear. So he went out. Way in the gray big woods, he did. And he was a-going along and going along, you know. And pretty soon he heard something go, whoa, it's that way, whoa. And he is scared, he was. And so he runned and climbed up a tree. A great big tree, he did. A sycamore tree. And then he heard it again. And he looked around. And 'twas a bear, a great big show enough bear. No, it 'twas two bears. It was two great big bears. One of them was just one of them a great big bear. But it's both of them go woo. And here they come. And they climb the tree and get to climb the tree and get the little boy and eat him up. And then the little boy, he is scared worse than ever. And here come the great big bear climbing the tree to get the little boy and eat him up. Oh no, it isn't the big bear that climbed the tree. It is the little bear. So here he come, climbing the tree and climbing the tree. Then when he get right close to little boy, why then the little boy, he is to pull up his gun and shot the bear, he did, and killed him dead. And then the bear, he fall clean down out of the tree, way clean to the ground, he did. Spring splung, he fall plumb down and killed him too. And lit white side the great big bear's at. And then the big bear's awful mad, you bet, cause the little boy, he shot the gun and killed the little bear, cause the big bear, he is a little bear's papa. And so here he come to climb the big old tree and get the little boy and eat him up. And when the little boy, he saw the gray big bear coming, he is badder scared he was than any time. And so he think he'd climb up higher, way up higher in the tree. Then the old big bear can climb, you know. But he can't climb higher. An old bear can climb. Because bears can climb up higher in trees than any little boys in the whole world. And so here he comes, the great big bear, he did. A-climbing up and up the tree to get the little boy and eat him up. And so the little boy, he climbed up on higher and higher and higher up the tree and higher and higher and higher. Here is this where the house is. And here come the old bear closer to him than all time. And then first, you know, when the little old big bear was right close to him, then the little boy, he jabbed his gun right in the old bear's mouth and shot and killed him dead. No, I forgot. He didn't shoot the great big bear at all. Cause there's no load on the gun, you know. Cause when he shot the little bear, why then no load was in the gun anymore. But the little boy climbed up higher, he did. He climbed lots higher. And on up higher and higher and higher till he can't climb no higher. Cause when the limbs is also little way up in the teeny weeny tip top, the tree, they'd break down with him, even if he don't be careful. So he stopped and think. And then he looked around, and here come the old bear. And so the little boy make up his mind. He got to get out of there some way. Cause here come the old bear. So close, his breath pert nice so he can feel it hot against his bare feet. It's like old Ring's breath when he's been out a hunting and all tired. So when the old bear so close, the little boy is give a great big jump to another tree. No, he don't do that. I tell you what the little boy does. The little boy, he find a hole up there that's in the tree and climbs in there and hides. And then the old bear can't find the little boy at all. But pretty soon the old bear finds the little boy's gun that's up there, because the gun, it's too tall to took with him in the hole. So when the old bear find the gun, he knows his little boy is hid around there somewheres. And the old bear begins to snuff and sniff around and sniff and snuff around so he can find out where the little boy's hid at. And then, Oh, yes. Why, pretty soon the old bear climbs way out on a big limb, a great long limb. And the little boy climbs out of the hole and takes an axe and chops the limb off. Then the old bear falls blunk, clean to the ground, and busts and kills himself plumb dead, he did. And then the little boy, he get his gun and meant to climb down the tree again. No, he didn't get his gun. Because when the bear falled, then the gun falled too, and broke into all sorts of pieces too. It's the nicest gun. His pa bought it for him. And the little boy's cry, he did. And went on climbing down the tree, and climbing down, and climbing down. And sir, when he is pert nigh down, why then the old bear, he jumped up again. And he ain't dead at all. Is tending that way so he can get the little boy and eat him up. But the little boy, he is too smart to climb clean down that tree, and the old bear, he can't climb up the tree no more, because when he fell, he broke he broke all of his legs, and then he couldn't climb. But he just won't go away and let the little boy come down out of the tree. And the old bear, is growl around there, he does. Is growl and goes woo, woo all the time. And the little boy, he have to stay up in the tree all night, and thout no supper neither. Only there was apples up in the tree, and the little boy ate apples ist all night, and cried, and cried. Then when 'twas morning, the old bear went woo, and tried to climb up the tree again and get the little boy, but he can't climb, save his soul, he can't. And oh, he was mad. He just tear up the ground and go woo. And oh yes, pretty soon when the morning come all light so you can see, you know, why then the old bear finds the little boy's gun, you know, that's on the ground, and it ain't broke at all. It's just said that I just said that. And so the old bear think he'll take the gun and shoot the little boy. But bears, they don't know about shooting guns. So when he go to shoot the little boy, the old bear got the other end of the gun against his shoulder instead of the other end. So when he tried to shoot the little boy, it shot the bear, it did, and killed him dead. And then the little boy climbed down out of the tree and chopped his old woolly head off. Yes, and killed the other bear again, he did. And killed all both bears, he did. And took them home and cooked them and ate them. And that's all. don't like the end of that. Poor bears. It's kind of interesting, though, to listen to the way people may have talked in Hoosier land in Indiana back in the early 1800s, 1700s. Obviously that was a little boy telling his mom and dad why he was late getting home. he was making it up as he was going. And I just love that story. I've read that story, since I was a young man myself, since I was probably about 12 or 13. I've read it to classes. I've read it to, I read it for my oral interp final when I was in college. For some reason or other, I just love that story. Because do you remember being a little guy or a little girl and you had to tell mom and dad why you were late getting home and you had to make something up? That's kind of what that story is all about. I truly enjoy reading that story. And I hope you get a little out of it. It wasn't terrible. It didn't teach you a lot. There was no big moral in that story. I suppose the moral is you probably shouldn't tell lies to your mom and dad because it's going to be pretty obvious. But I just love the story. So I read it to you. I'm going to read you some other stories as we go along. I'm also looking for more speeches to read to you. I hope you don't mind. I find it that education is a thing where somebody cares about somebody else. And in this case, I care about my audience enough that I want you to hear what makes me tick. And I hope it helps you tick yourself. It's I guess, a little self-serving because I enjoyed reading it. But it's also something I think you might be able to take a little something from. And all the speeches that I've read, I know you can take some stuff from that. But I'll read a few more of these I can't remember the word I want to use. You know, less heavy things. Things that you can just enjoy. I've been thinking about going back. You remember we did... the thing by Dr. Seuss, and I've been looking at other Dr. Seuss stories that I thought maybe you'd be interested in hearing. I don't want to turn this into I remember when I was a youngster, the local library had a story time. You know, they would read stories to us that would take, you know, 10 or 15 minutes on the radio. And I don't really want to turn this into that. I hope you can get something out of most of the things that I read. That one was just for fun. Okay. You're listening to WWGH here on 107.1. This is On the Air. I'm Glenn Coble. And we will be doing, by the way, later on, we will be doing Swap Shop. Last week, I think we picked it up. We had three calls, and I hope some of them were successful. But if not, we're going to keep on going. All right. We've pretty much asked the question 2 weeks ago, do you want us to continue doing this? And we've gotten a pretty positive response about continuing to do it. I was going to cut it off until the spring when we know we'll get more, you know, after we get through the winter, we'll have more people that will be interested in doing that. But there are a lot of things that go on in the at Christmas time.
Scott, WWGH Radio is my favorite place for news.
Well, Ted, I take that as high praise.
Well, it's true, without a doubt. Where else can you find a mayor, governor, treasurer, and the Golden Voice all on the same show? Variety is the spice of life.
WWGH Radio, 107.1 FM, The Talking Place.
Which button am I?
When every second counts, you can't wing it.
Guys, a little help up here?
In a home fire, you may have less than 2 minutes to get out. So make a family home fire escape plan. Then practice home fire drills at least twice a year so everyone knows what to do when they hear. Prepare your family at ready.gov/firedrill. Brought to you by FEMA, the Ag Council, and Make Safe Happen.
That's a great idea. When I was a youngster, I was, my pot is making some scratchy noises. I'm trying to get it to stop doing that. But anyway, when I was a youngster, I was a fire marshal in grade school. And I remember all the different preparations we did for our families. We would get fire routes for everybody. Determine how people should get out of the house in case of a fire. People that had second story, you slept on the upper story. We had things, ways that you could get down on the roof and get out of the house. We even had one of our fire marshals devise a rope ladder so that his family, because I think he had a three-story house and they slept up on the third floor, you know, like in an attic bedroom, and they couldn't have gotten to the roof, and I think he devised a rope ladder so that they could get down off the roof. So good idea to know what your family's supposed to do and have a plan, just like having a plan for how you're going to vote. Now, my wife and I, we sent in our, we got our absentee ballot taken care of, and we were told we were going to get, they were going to mail them out on last Tuesday, right? Was it Tuesday? Yeah, we thought we might get them yesterday. We did not. So we're hoping we will get them today so that we can fill them. Our plan is to fill them out the minute we get them, get in the car and drive down to the county building, which is where the drop box is, and drop them in the drop box. So I've even taken the route down to the, it's almost like having my, you know, when my wife was pregnant, we we took the, a long time ago, we took the horse and buggy down and actually went the route a couple of times to make sure that we wouldn't be too late to the hospital. That was kind of an interesting story. Let me tell you that story. I'm trying to remember which kid it was. It was not my first child. I think it was my third child. We lived in Indiana. We lived in Crown Point, Indiana, which is, I don't know, 15 miles, maybe 10 miles from Valparaiso, Indiana, which was both my wife's and my kind of hometown. And I was working at a radio station in Crown Point, Indiana. We bought our first house there, and we took that route a couple of times just so that we knew exactly how to get from Crown Point, Indiana to Memorial Hospital in Porter County Memorial Hospital, which is where Valparaiso is. And so we had taken the route a couple times, knew exactly how to drive down Route 30. We knew exactly where to get off the road that would make it the fastest to the hospital. On the morning, and it was very, very early in the morning, it was, I think it's 5 o'clock, it might have been even earlier. My wife said, I think I'm going to have the baby. Let's get going. So we threw everything. We had it all packed, and we threw the stuff in the car and headed out down Route 30. And all of a sudden, it went from her labor was every 3 minutes to less than every minute. And so I kind of stepped on it, and I'm driving down Route 30, and I pass a truck. Now, this is back in the day when CBs were very important, and I had my CB on, and as I went by the trucker said, "Holy cow, you're going fast. Where are you going, to a fire?" You know, something like that. And I said, "No, my wife is pregnant, and we got to get to the hospital." So that nice trucker called ahead to all his fellow truckers ahead of us and said, "There's a car coming with a pregnant lady. Move over for you." And he gave the description of our car. And I'll be darned if they didn't all move over to the right side and let us go. And we got there, and her labor stopped. It absolutely stopped. And we were there about, 10 hours before it started back up. And anyway, my son was born, and has been one of the three joys of my life all the rest of my life. Andrew was. All right. Anyway, just a little story. Thought you'd like to know about me a little bit more. I'm not from Marion, so most of you don't know my backstories, right? When I first started this show, I don't know what, a year and a half ago, 2 years ago, whenever it was, I did the first 2 or 3 weeks, I kind of did my biography on the air and tried to tell people who I was so that you felt like you could be my friend. Now, I know there are people that don't like my political stance, but I'm a pretty nice guy. And if you throw the political stance out and just think of me as a human being, I'm not a bad guy, honest. You can ask my dog, you can ask my wife, they both like me, and I don't beat either one of them. So anyway, let's do a few of these trivia questions that we've gotten from Fred Malone. Thanks, Fred. I know you listen quite often, so I'm going to give you a little attaboy over the air here. These are all from the Marion County Historical Trivia questions. Lots of them. I mean, let's see. I'm trying to look to see the number of how many questions we have about Marion. Oh, we have a phone call. Let's go to the phone, okay? Hi, you're on the air. How can we help you?
I've been wondering about your son and his vineyard. Are fires in California affecting him at all?
The fires, you remember 2 years ago when they had that huge fire out there north of Los Angeles? That surrounded the town and his vineyard. They made it through that one. These haven't gotten close to him. He's been very lucky.
Okay, all right. I didn't know whether he was actually in the Napa Valley area
south of Napa Valley. But there's wine everywhere in California. Are you a wine drinker?
No.
Oh, well, no. I'm not either, but I do it for my son's sake.
So that's good.
There is wine everywhere in California. And the fires, they got so close 2 years ago to Ojai, which is where he lives, that they kind of burned out all the trees that might go on fire during this forest fire time.
Okay.
So they're kind of safe for another 2 or 3 more years. But his mom and I worry about him a lot.
I imagine you do.
Yeah, and they've had earthquakes out there.
Yeah.
And we call them after every earthquake, and they kind of make fun of us.
Oh, well. That's the job of a parent.
Yeah, that's right. We worry. But thank you for your interest in it. And if you ever get out to Ojai, California, stop at the tasting room. It's right in downtown Ojai, and it's called a Majestic Oak Vineyard. It's really beautiful.
All right. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks for calling.
Mm-hmm, bye.
Bye-bye. That's my son Andrew that she was talking about. He is one of the three apples of my eye. I will never say who my favorite is. I'm not sure I know who my favorite is. But for different reasons, Andrew is my favorite in some reasons. Christopher is my favorite in other reasons. And Amy is she's a girl, so she's my favorite girl. And they all have their own distinct personalities, and I really, really, it made my life worth living. I was kind of a rough dad. I did not spare the rod. Now, my eldest deserved it. He still does. He's, 47, something like that, 46. He works at Franklin down in Columbus. Franklin University, and he and I talk a lot of politics. He's on the same wavelength with me as far as politics go. My youngest, I'm not sure he pays any attention to politics. And my daughter, she lives in North Carolina, and they're right in the heart of Trump country. And she's kind of not a Trumpster, and her husband is a Trumpster. So they don't talk about politics either. That's fine. I get so tired. Did you listen last night to the debate? I thought there was a clear winner, and I'm not sure whether it's my own bias or whether I was right. But the problem I had with Mr. Pence was that he kept they were given X number of minutes, like 1 or 2 minutes to respond, and he just never saw the stop sign at the end of the minute or 2 minutes and just kept on going. One of the talking heads at the end of the debate said he had quit counting the number of times the moderator said, thank you, Mr. President. Thank you, Mr. Vice President. Thank you, Mr. Vice President. She was kept trying to get him to stop talking, and he would not stop talking. And I thought it was quite rude. That's always been a problem I've had with all politicians, Democratic or Republican politicians, when they have a feeling that they have to just keep on talking. They haven't said enough, and I think you should be more respectful of your opponent. Now, obviously, they don't follow the rules of debating teams on these debates. I was shocked to hear that Scott told me this morning that they have decided not to do the next presidential debate because the debate organization had decided to do a virtual debate because of the illness of the president, as opposed to doing, you know, face-to-face, and apparently the president doesn't want to do that, so they're not going to have it. I'm glad they're not going to have it, and the reason why I'm glad, I think he should relax and get healthy again. I'm worried that he's going to kill himself, and I don't think any of us want that. I hope none of us do. Anyway, that's kind of rambling today because I didn't get any time last night to plan so much. Anyway, let's go back. I was going to read some of these trivia questions, right? And I only have a minute and a half, so I'm not going to read too many of them. What building in Marion is believed to be many areas, historians believe it to be the oldest brick building in the city. Now, I know this. Oh, I think I read this last week. We'll have to pass. Well, anyway, it's the Bowen House, which is now Lipley's. And I'm pretty sure that I read that last week. So, but it's good to know those things. And I repeated it so that you locked it into your brain, right? This one I don't think we read. What effect on the settlement of what is now known as Marion County did the Greenville Treaty Line have? Well, the Greenville Treaty Line delayed settlement of the area for about 20 years. And when Fred's on next week, I'm going to have to ask him why it would do that sort of thing. That's kind of an interesting interesting statement. Who was the first mayor of the village of Marion? The first mayor was Nathan Peters, and he was elected in 1830. Well, we'll be back here after a short break, well, a 15-minute break, and come on back, and we'll do a little bit more trivia, and I have lots of questions that I've written up in my phone.
You're listening to WWGH Radio 107.1 FM LP.